After being humiliated in front of the entire nation a week ago, the Green Bay Packers headed into New Jersey on Sunday, a team very much in need of a bounce-back performance. And for the most part, mission accomplished. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to this week's episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's perfectly acceptable, if perhaps a bit underwhelming, 31-13 road win over the New York Giants on Sunday at snowy MetLife Stadium, a.k.a. New Giants Stadium, in East Rutherford, New Jersey. With the win, the Packers are, at least for one day, all alone in first place in the NFC North at 9-3. They are a half game plus the tiebreaker ahead of the Minnesota Vikings, who play on the road against the Seattle Seahawks tomorrow night. I'll try to do my best Fraser Crane voice here. Go Seahawks. Oh, just threw up in my mouth. Oof. I'm sure it's a total coincidence. The Chicago Bears beat the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day, and a game I definitely did not fall asleep on the couch at halftime of, to improve to 6-6 on the season. Did anybody else find it funny that Chris Spielman during the game today talked about the Bears like there may be a dangerous team heading into December? He's like, they're heating up. It's like, Chris, they beat the Giants last week and the Lions on Thursday. The Lions started something named David Blau at quarterback. That, like, I went to Minnesota, right? I'm a Big Ten grad. I didn't even know who he was. And I looked it up, they're like, oh, he played at Purdue. I was like, he played at Purdue? I don't even remember him playing at Purdue. So that shows you, that tells you a little something about the David Blau era at Purdue, because I don't even remember him. But it was funny that Spielman was like, oh, yeah, you know, credit to Mitchell Trubisky and Matt Nagy. Like, they're starting to heat up. It's like, dude, they beat two shitty teams. Chris, come on. They're 6-6. And the Lions are, as a result of that loss to the Bears, 3-8-1 and in dead last in the division. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say I doubt they move from that spot between now and the end of the season. Before we get into the fun, I got to do the shameless self-promotion, the Twitter, Facebook email accounts, Twitter at It's Just Chris Now. Lemps MKE is the handle. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, OL Bag of Donuts, Old Bag of Donuts at Gmail. Didn't get any emails after the Niners game. I thought I would get some emails from some listeners. I didn't. That's kind of disappointed. But it's a holiday, so I'm sure you guys are all busy. And then, you know, if you follow on Twitter and you're wondering, Chris, why didn't you tweet that much during the game today? I have kind of a love-hate, mostly hate relationship with Twitter at this point. I didn't tweet much, and I'll be honest with you guys, because I keep it real with you guys at all times. I felt like maybe I was giving a little bit too much away for free, right? Like, if you follow on Twitter, I tweet so much, and I came into the season saying I wasn't going to tweet that much during the games. I've completely broken that resolution. And I just decided that, like, maybe I'm giving too much away. Like, if you follow during the games, you just go, well, I don't know why. Some people I can see saying, I don't know why I need to listen to the podcast. Like, I saw everything he thought about everything he had to say about the game he said during the game. Even though I do say more on this, on the show. So I'm just going to tweet a lot less going forward. If you want to know what I think, click on the podcast. Download it on iTunes or get it off PackersTalk.net or PackersTalk.com. And by the way, if you're listening on iTunes, maybe leave a rating. We like 5 stars the most. 4 stars, leave a comment. They give you that option. That would be nice. Okay, anyways, now that I got the shameless self-promotion out of the way, let's talk about this game, eh? Oh, there's my Uper coming through, eh? So again, if you follow me on Twitter, I did say on Friday, anything less than a 3-touchdown win should cause you to mash down on that panic button. So you might be wondering, well, Chris, 18 points isn't 21, so is it time to panic? Should I mash that button? No, not at all. 18 points, that's close enough to 21, so you're good there. No panicking, at least for another week. But, you know, as you heard in the opening, I did say this win was perhaps a bit underwhelming, and there are a number of factors that kind of lead me to say that. I mean, first off, the Giants, I mean, they were 2-9 coming in, right? So boom, right there. You knew this was a bad team. Even if you haven't really been following them, you know, Bill Parcells, you are what your record says, yada, yada, yada. They had a rookie QB, and a struggling rookie QB at that, starting. They were missing two key players on offense and another key player on defense, right? Wide receiver Golden Tate, tight end Evan Engram on offense, safety Jabril Peppers on defense. Oh, and the stadium wasn't even half full. But of the people that were there in attendance, I would say at least a decent amount of them were Packer fans. So, you know, when you look at it that way, aren't you at least a little underwhelmed that this game hung in the balance for as long as it did? I mean, Green Bay was only up 7 at the half, and only up 4 late in the third quarter. And again, yeah, the Packers did end up putting on the afterburners and winning very comfortably. But for a team that just got humiliated on national TV last week, I guess I was expecting more of a complete and total ass-kicking from this group, and that just didn't happen. Now, I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer or a Negative Nelly. Is it Negative Nelly, Negative Nancy? I don't know. And only focus on the aspects, whatever it is. I'm not going to just focus on the aspects that left me wanting more. But I am going to mix those in with my thoughts on what I like from today. Right? Now, I'm going to start with the defense today because, honestly, the defense's performance is kind of indicative of the team's performance today, right? On the one hand, there's the good. They only allowed 13 points, only gave up 335 total yards. And yes, they did pick off quarterback Daniel Jones 3 times, including a really nice interception by Tremont Williams on a pass up the sideline once the game had basically been decided. You know, I said Tremont looked old last week on the long touchdown reception he allowed to Samuel, but he didn't look old there. And really, you know, Tremont has played quite well for the most part, and especially when you consider his age. I mean, it's pretty incredible what Tremont's doing this season at his age. Because, I mean, you know, every year, once you get to that age, too, every year the drop-off could be drastic. Guy comes into the season, looks great, done. I call that the Hardy Nickerson effect for Packer fans who remember when they signed him in free agency. I think it was in 02, start of the 02 season. We're like, yeah, we're getting Hardy. And the season started, and literally week one, it was like, oh, my God, Hardy's cooked. So you always worry about that with guys when they get to a certain point. But Tremont, he's fighting off father time and doing it quite well. And sure, Za'Darius Smith, you know what? He was a bona fide monster. Surprise, surprise. Even though he didn't register a sack, which is a rare occurrence for him this year, he still harassed Jones all day, right? 5 QB hits, a ton of pressures, a ton of big pressures in spots where the defense needed him. So those are the good things. Right? That's good. But it sure seemed like there was more than enough bad, didn't it? Huh? I mean, again, without two of their biggest playmakers, Tate and Engram, maybe they're two, well, other than Barkley, two of their 3 biggest playmakers, I'd say, they still converted 3 of 4 fourth down attempts. Every conversion ultimately led to points for New York. They ripped off an 18-play drive. They ate up almost 10 minutes of clock. Now, Green Bay did hold them to a field goal, but still, 18 plays with that offense. I mean, come on. And the Giants were still able to complete a pass, Jones to Cody Latimer, that picked up 43 yards, which led to another Giants field goal. So if you thought this was the opponent that wouldn't have a 40-plus yard gain against the Packers, like me, I thought this would be the week they would not allow a 40-plus yard play on defense. Well, we were wrong, weren't we? And I mean, lights just went out. Okay. And I mean, did you ever really feel like the Packers had a handle on the Giants' offense here? I guess, hang on one second, I gotta turn the lights on. Okay, apologies for that. I guess once Rodgers took over late in the third and into the fourth, maybe. But that was mostly because of Rodgers. I mean, this defense still doesn't provide much in the way of confidence. Again, did you ever really feel like the Packers had a handle on the Giants' offense here? I didn't. And they don't really give me much confidence. I mean, if they ain't coming up with turnovers, it almost feels like it's a given that they're going to give up points of some kind on that whatever particular drive it is. I mean, you got to wonder, like, what could the Giants have done at full capacity? Win? I mean, probably not. Probably not. But their offensive output surely would have been much higher. That's not a great sign for Mike Pettine, who I feel I'm not going to rehash all the stuff I said about Pettine. I said it last week. If you listen to the show, you know my thoughts on Mike Pettine. It was funny to see everybody on Twitter this week going, just remember, Mike Pettine was not Matt LaFleur's hire. I'm like, yeah, I know. Dicks, I've been saying that for like I said it on the pod. I've been saying it for like 3 weeks, or at least a couple weeks. Anyways, I digress. One of the funniest moments, you know, one of the funniest moments of the day was Spielman. Again, a guy I usually like. Now, I've kind of hammered on him. This will be the second time I've hammered on him in 10 minutes, but I do usually like Chris Spielman. It was funny to hear him say how surprised he was that Patton was going with the soft zone on that fourth down conversion to a wide open Darius Slayton that kept New York's first scoring drive alive. That was funny. I was like, Chris, you sure you've been watching tape on this defense? Soft zone is the name of the game with this defense. And Kevin King. I mean, holy shit. I mean, was today the most Kevin King day possible? I feel like we got the full-on Kevin King experience today, right? Up and down, up and down. Dude gets burned on a double move to allow a touchdown. Then he comes back to make a nice move in front of a receiver to get an interception, right? Then later on, he's late getting up on Slayton to allow a completion that picks up a first down. Then he allows another significant completion later on. This one again to Slayton for 29. That was in the third quarter. But it's wiped out by penalties on both teams. Then, was it the next play or a couple plays later? He makes a nice pass breakup on a pass to Saquon Barkley, who was lined up outside. I mean, holy shit! Holy shit! Bad, good, really bad, really good. This guy is all over the map. I don't know what to make of Kevin King. I feel like I say this every week. I have no idea. But you know what? I've come to the conclusion this hit me a little while ago. Maybe that is what we make of Kevin King, right? Maybe he's just an up and down cat. I don't know. I mean, I wish I could tell you that he's going to trend one way or the other permanently, but maybe this is just who he is. So, okay, is that enough on the defense? Yeah, probably. Oh, you know what? I do want to give a shout out to Adrian Amos. Really nice pass breakup in the end zone that saved the touchdown in the second half. And Kenny Clark, really, really nice run stop on New York's first drive that led to a punt. Okay, now we good? Yes, yes, we are. Okay, let's move over to the offense, and I'll start there as I usually do with Aaron Rodgers. He certainly had a good day overall, right? 21 of 33, 243 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a couple of stretches where he looked, dare I say, great. I mean, right off the bat, he looked fantastic, right? 6 of 7 for 103 yards and 2 scores on Green Bay's first 2 possessions. He seemed comfortable, really comfortable. Now, the protection was great all day, right? He wasn't sacked at all. He was only hit 2 times total, right? He seemed comfortable and in command. And even when he was under pressure early, like 2nd and 3 on Green Bay's first drive, he still unloads a perfect bomb downfield to Alan Lazard for a pickup of 43. And on Green Bay's second drive, one that also ended in a touchdown, Rodgers was scrambling for first downs and looking like vintage 12 when he hit, again, Lazard for a 37-yard touchdown on a nice little play-action post route. And then, with the score 17-13 and the game very much in the balance late in the third, Rodgers just took over. Right? That's what the greats do. They take over. That throw to Geronimo Allison on a 4th and 10 when the Packers went for it at the Giants 35 was simply incredible. I like the call there. 35, that's too far to kick a field goal in those conditions. And, I mean, punting would have got you nothing. So, it was just simply incredible. Right? He's under heavy pressure. And at the last second, slings it to Allison to pick up 15. Nice catch by Geronimo Allison, too. A guy that I know myself and guessing more than a couple other Packers bloggers and podcasters have taken some shots at this year. It was a nice play by Geronimo. I got to give him credit. Rodgers would close that drive out with a touchdown pass to Devontae Adams. And then his last touchdown pass of the day was really impressive, too, right? So Rodgers goes play action on 2nd and goal. As he's being grabbed by the defender, escapes and flips one to Mercedes Lewis for the score to make it 31-13, which is what the score ended up being, the final score. Lewis is now the 38th player to catch a touchdown from Aaron Rodgers. Per Rob Domofsky of ESPN, it's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. I mean, I know I'm hard on Rodgers sometimes on the show. It's not that I don't love him. It's just that's just what comes with being the quarterback. But you know what? He's thrown touchdowns to 38 players. That's something else. So again, yeah, pretty good overall. Now, I just said, I know I'm hard on Rodgers sometimes, and I'm going to do that right now. So here's my concern with Rodgers. Why does it feel like the beginning of road games lately tells us all we need to know about how he will perform that day? I mean, look at the LA and San Francisco games, right? Good to really good defenses, really good pass rushes. He never looked comfortable. From the jump, right? Wire to wire. He just never looked comfortable, and it showed in his performance, definitely showed in his statistics. But against KC today, he did. Or against KC and today, he did. He looked comfortable, and it showed. Even when the offense bogged down in the second and third quarters, right? They only scored 3 points combined in those two frames. He never seemed out of control, right? He just kind of felt like Rodgers is going to get it going again. I don't know when, but he's going to get it going. Now, it's you know, that could be because, you know, Kansas City and the Giants have bad to very bad defenses. But, I mean, it's like teams with good pass rushes and good defenses, they just have them spooked from the jump, at least lately. That's not great. And I know it's still a few weeks out, but I'm really curious to see how he looks against Minnesota, because that'll be a gigantic test. That'll be the next big road test against a very good defense. And just, you know, let's hope Rodgers comes out looking better than he did again against the Chargers and the Niners. It's just, you know, where again, he just looked spooked from Jump Street. As for the rest of the offense overall, again, you know, pretty good. The offensive line, they were really quite good today. Credit to Brian Bulaga, Iowa. I wish I could get Summers to request. Let's see if I can have him do this. It's funny to see people talking about this on, like, social media. I didn't realize the Brian Bulaga, Iowa thing was such a thing. I thought it was just, like, Adam and I and, like, our buddies in Minneapolis and stuff that thought that was so hysterical. But I guess everybody thinks it's funny. I got to get Summers does a really, really good Brian Bulaga impression of the Iowa thing. I should have him record it, and then I'll run it on the show. But anyway, Brian Bulaga, yeah, credit to him. He didn't even miss one game with the MCL sprain he suffered last Sunday night. He is, man, that dude might be held together with duct tape and chicken wire at this point, a la Chad Clifton before him, but he is tough, man. He's a tough son of a bitch, that Brian Bulaga. Holy crap. Alan Lazard, you know what? I think he's the second best receiver on the team at this point. Got to talk about Lazard. I think he's the second best receiver. And at this point, I'm not even sure it's close. 3 catches for 103 yards in the aforementioned touchdown. My question, why wasn't he targeted more or even on the field more? Did it feel like Allison ate up a lot of his snaps, particularly in that second half? That's how it felt to me. He needs to be on the field more, and he needs more targets. He does. We're getting to the point of the year now. It's December. You have to identify who your playmakers are and aren't, and make the ones who are the focal points, right? Spreading the ball around is nice. It's a great stat. It looks good on TV and in the box. But you know what? Really, it has its limits, I think, especially at this point of the season. You have to identify who your horses are and start riding them. You just do. And I think Lazard is in that group. I absolutely do. Nice game from Davante Adams. 6 grabs for 64 yards and 2 scores on 10 targets. His second touchdown was the 400th catch of his career, according to the Fox broadcast. So congrats to him on that milestone. Aaron Jones. Okay, so only 4 catches for 13 yards. But he was targeted 6 times, which to me is very encouraging. Especially after the last 3 games where he was targeted almost never. You know, I didn't really mention this last week, but if you've been listening to the show, you know I've talked a lot about the meshing of the two offenses, right? The one the Packers were with Adams healthy and the one they became when he got hurt. So far, outside of maybe the Carolina game, they hadn't really done a good job of meshing those two, right? Finding the best parts of those two offenses and bringing them together. Today, I think, was the best they've done so far in accomplishing that goal. Not great, but the best they've done. Those are two different things. So Jones didn't have a good day statistically at all, right? Only 18 yards on 11 carries, in addition to his paltry receiving output. But it was the best Matt LaFleur and the rest of the offensive brain trust have done so far in making both he and Adams a big part of the game plan. At least since Adams is, again, his return from injury. That's important. Now, don't go away from that. Build on what you did today. Adams should always be up around at least 10 to 12 targets per game. I don't know if you want to go too much higher than 12, to be honest. I'd say, and really, Jones should be up around 17 to 20 carries a game, and I think at least 6 to 7 targets in the passing game. Now, the Giants, as most teams will do going forward, they made stopping Jones probably the biggest part of their game plan, and they did a damn good job. But keep getting Aaron Jones involved. He is simply too good to hold down for long. Getting Jones the ball, or trying to, is never a bad idea. Again, it's December now. It's time to really unleash him. The kid is a star. Like, yeah, he just, it's time. It's time to make guys like, it's time to start figuring out who this offense is going to be built around for the rest of the season. And to me, that's Aaron Jones, that's Davante Adams, and that's Alan Lazard. I didn't think I'd be saying that about Lazard back, even though I was hashtag Team Lazard back in August. I didn't think I'd be saying it at this point. But I definitely think those guys, those should be maybe your three biggest horses. And then special teams, nice to see J.K. Scott have a good day. What were his numbers? I did not type those down for some reason because I'm a doofus. He had three punts for 140 yards, so 46.7-yard average. Two inside the 20 and a long of 47. It's some good hang time on at least a couple of those, too. So that was great after a really terrible last month or so for him. He talked last week about he had kind of changed up his drop point, I believe, on his kicks. And I think that screwed him up. I think he went back to what he was doing before. Why he ever changed, I have no idea. But I think it was to generate more hang time, right? Is that what he said? Either way, it looks like he went back to what was working early in the season. So that's great. And it's nice to see Mason Crosby hit a 47-yarder in tough conditions, especially after all he's gone through. If you saw on the broadcast, they mentioned he lost his sister-in-law to cancer this past week, and then all of his wife's health issues as well. He's been through a really tough year. And you know what? I've been through a really tough year myself, so it's nice to see somebody going through similar struggles performing so well. And you know what? He's definitely had a strong year so far. And I'll tell you, after watching, the state of kicking in the NFL is as bad as I've ever seen it. If you watch those Thanksgiving Day games on Thursday, holy hell. The kicking in this league is just atrocious right now. So I know Crosby, you know, last year wasn't great. Again, he's rebounded this year. And I know he's getting up there in age. But even though he's a free agent at the end of the year, I would bring him back. I think he's a lock to come back at this point. I don't know about it at the salary. I think his cap number is $4 million this year, or his salary. Maybe not quite that high, but yeah, I wouldn't let him go. How many teams have tried moving on to rookie kickers and seen it completely blow up in their faces? I think I'd stick with Crosby for at least the immediate future, absolutely. So, all right, 22 minutes in. Big picture time now. Move forward a little bit on my notes. Scroll back. Big picture time now. So, again, yeah. A win against the Giants, you know, it doesn't move the needle that much, right? We all know that. But at least the Pack kept pace in both the division and the conference. I mentioned the division standings early on, and as far as the race for a first-round bye and home field throughout goes, they're one game behind the Saints and one plus the tiebreaker behind the Niners, who lost to Baltimore today. Now, I know anything can happen in December, right? But it definitely feels to me like we know the six playoff teams right now. Right, Green Bay, well, in the it'll be either Dallas or Philly, probably Dallas in the East. Packers and Vikings coming out of the North. Saints coming out of the South, and then the Seahawks and San Francisco coming out of the West. I don't see any teams challenging those six, not at this point. Again, anything can happen, but that's how I see it. And right now, yeah, the Packers could catch one of those teams and end up with a first-round bye or even home field throughout, but to me, it sure feels like they're going to be the three seed. I think they are going to win the North. Yeah, I think they're going to win the North probably, barring anything crazy, I think they win the North division record. Because I'm not sure they're going to beat the Vikings in Minnesota on the 23rd, but they'll have a better division record because if they lose to the Vikings, that would be their only division loss. And the Vikings would have two. They lost to Green Bay and they lost to Chicago. So I think they win the division, they'll get the three seed, they'll host either the Vikings or the NFC West runner-up, Seattle or San Francisco, at Lambeau in round one. All right, let's get to some Twitter questions now. I asked people to give me any questions, thoughts, concerns, praise on the game. Not a lot of people wrote in. Not that I'm surprised. This was kind of, you know what I mean? You're glad they won, but it's the Giants, right? Like, it wasn't... Again, it just doesn't move the needle that much. I think for a lot of fans, too. So, all right, let's get to these questions. First question comes from Justin Cornwell, at Justin A. Cornwell. I know Justin used to listen back to the old Podbean show. Thank him for that. He says, defense makes me nervous still, but felt good to put a team away. Some of the third down play calling was frustrating, but good to see 12 and the receivers make big plays. Most importantly, my son Miles is now 1-0 watching games since coming home from the NICU. Oh, how nice is that, huh? And Justin sent a pic of, I presume that's his father and the little guy, and there's a dog. I think, is that a pug? And they got the game on in the background. Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. You know, I have twin boys. They spent 2 weeks in the NICU because they came prematurely. So I know how awesome that is to bring your kid, your child home, or in my case, children, home from the NICU. That's great. Congratulations to you, Justin. Looks like the kid is healthy. Congratulations to you, Mrs. Justin. I don't know who she is, but, and everybody else. All right, so as for your question, I think it was good that they put a team away, right? Because at 17-13, I mean, I never really thought they'd lose, but I was just like, man, I can't even believe we're at this point. And it was nice to see Rodgers take over and do his thing. The third down play calling, yeah, some of that was frustrating. I know there was one, was it a pass? Well, I got to go through my notes here. There was like a pass to Williams on a third. Where was that? This is, I'm sure, fascinating to listen to. Oh, it was a 3rd and 13 on their first drive of the third quarter. And for some reason, Rodgers was slinging it off to Williams out in the flat for a short gain. I mean, that play had no chance. And that did end in a punt, which then led to the Giants going down and making it a four-point game. So, yeah, I agree. Some of the third down play calling was frustrating. I think, you know what else kind of drove me nuts was one of those two scores in the second half in the fourth quarter when they came out. I think it was the last play of the third quarter, right? Yeah, it was 17-13. Last play of the third quarter, and LaFleur's got them coming out in a heavy set. Right? First and goal at the half-yard line. They give it to Jones, and he gets stuffed for a huge loss. That, I mean, coach the team you have, Matt. Stop trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Like, every time the Packers come out in a heavy set, I just have this sense of doom. I just know it's not going to work. Heavy set in a short yardage situation. That's not the team they have. Their offensive line is a pass-blocking offensive line. It's not, I don't like, finesse is almost a dirty word, but that's kind of what they are, for lack of a better word. They're not really a ground-and-pound O-line. They're just not. And that's fine. But LaFleur, that's a trend I think he needs to get rid of these heavy sets. It's not going to work for them. That's not who they are. So, yeah. All right. Next question here comes from Philip Voss. I think he's another one of the old Podbean hardcores. I knew at least the hardcores would ask some questions today, even if nobody else did. Philip Voss at @P_Voss says, they appear to have not made any progress from a few years ago. Far too passive in zone, miscommunication on the back end leading to big plays. With all the resources poured into that unit at the expense of all else, it's tremendously disappointing to see no better results. Still enormously disappointed in the defense. Yes, they got a couple of turnovers on terrible throws from a rookie QB, but also gave up several more explosive plays. I actually might have read those tweets back. He might have meant to send the second one first. I just read them. Sorry, Philip. I read them going up the page to try to go from first to last. Anyway, yeah. I mean, I largely agree with you on the defense. They are too passive. That's Pettine. Pettine calls too many soft zones. I don't know what they're doing. It felt like every time they got aggressive today, it felt like they were getting good pressure on Jones, even though they never did sack him. They got good pressure. It feels like this defense, usually when they send blitzes, they tend to, even if they don't end up in sacks, they tend to disrupt the opposing offense. So I got to be honest, I don't know why that they're so passive in zone. You know, I really don't. Or why they play so passively as far as the play calls on defense. And yeah, the resources poured into that unit. I mean, I talked about that last week. Was it last week, I think? Yeah, there's a lot. I know I've talked about it a couple times this year. A lot of big money guys, the Smiths, Amos, two first round picks this year. A lot of high picks the last few years. I mean, yeah, it is pretty disappointing overall. That's what I was talking about with the defense. Like, there was some good statistically, and they made some nice plays. But overall, you never really felt like the defense was in control of that Giants offense. That's how I wanted to feel today. I wanted to feel like this defense was going to kick New York's ass, definitely as far as our defense versus their offense. Our defense, what am I on the team? But you know what I mean. And that just, that didn't happen. You know, we didn't see that. So, yeah, I agree with most of what you're saying there, Philip, unfortunately. All right, so those are the Twitter questions. Very short mailbag this week. All right, looking ahead to next week now, the Packers will be back at Lambeau for the first time in just about a month as they host the Washington Redskins. It's a noon kickoff, Lambeau time. Been a tough year for Washington once again. Surprise, surprise, as the Skins are 3-9, though they have won two in a row, defeating the Lions and upsetting the Carolina Panthers today by a 29-21 count. Another rookie QB for Green Bay to face too, this time Dwayne Haskins, who, like Jones, was a first-round pick back in April. Looks to be a very winnable game for the Pack, knock on wood. Knock on wood, I'm knocking on my head now. But win, lose, or draw, I'll be back to recap it next Sunday. So until next time, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talkin' Pack. Thank you so very much for listening.
Go, Pack, go.